Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Jeff, we get asked a lot for advice. People hit us up on email. People see us in the streets. People just want to know how we've gotten to this point. And I, you know, look, have we discussed our full journey on this podcast? Not a lot. We have been on other podcasts and we've talked about how we've, you know, we started out in 2007 and how we got to this point. And there's been a whole lot of different angles to our career, the music, the podcast, the TV show, et cetera, et cetera. But we haven't really had a chance yet until this past Saturday to sit down in front of kids who are looking to get into the music industry in some form or fashion and provide advice to them that is trained towards them.
We were invited on this panel to speak to NYU's Future Music Moguls class, which is a group of kids that are trying to break into the music industry.
Yeah, we were next to our friends Amir Abessi, Blame the Label, and Jamal Jamot at INF.
A lot of people look at us now and think, how do I get to that point?
And which is crazy.
We are guys who, there were times when things were really great,
right?
And we were hanging out with certain people and we were closing certain deals. And then there were other times that we weren't even able to take the subway because the MetroCard was too expensive.
The honest truth is there's a lot of ups and downs in a 10-year career for anybody. For us, our personal journey, that was just how we handled it, right? We chose to forego money. We chose to forego meals. We chose to dedicate ourselves to this brand and this craft and to explain that to kids and be like, look, there's going to be some ups and there's going to be some downs. And especially in this music industry, for us, we decided that we were going to put dope content out. And sometimes it's going to hit and sometimes it's not.
We always talk about our first video, which was called Deconstructing Biggie. And we took the line, you're mad because my style you're admiring. Don't be mad. UPS is hiring. Looked at it from the UPS driver's perspective, who thought it was the worst thing ever. And the DHL and FedEx guys thought it was the greatest thing ever. And that video went viral.
Yeah, it did very well for us. Complex named it like top video of the 2000s. The next week, obviously, we threw an early retirement party for Lloyd Banks. That video hit. But sometimes there's videos that just don't work.
Like, we had this video where instead of somebody seeing the Virgin Mary in their latte in the morning, I saw LL Cool J in my toast.
Which, by the way, hilarious.
Good idea.
But maybe it wasn't a lot of views. And
that's okay, because we're going to come back the next week and the next week, and we're just going to keep trying to do better than last week.
That's right. By the way, that translates to every aspect of our career, including the podcast. Sometimes, you know, a guest that we think is going to do huge numbers might not, but as long as we're happy with the episode, it is worthwhile and people are eventually going to find it.
So air out the people that didn't do good episodes.
I'm not going to do that.
Air them out.
Not today.
Okay.
To be able to tell these kids that consistency and quality are the key to our success and something that we've seen in a lot of people who have won over that decade was super important to us. And to take a step back and say, well, all right, here's 2007 when we started out and it's like at the bottom. And here's where we are, wherever we are in 2018, which is better than we were in 2007. And you say, well, that's a strong, just straight line up. It's not the case. If you look really close, sometimes you do well and sometimes you take the L.
So shout out to all the kids at NYU's Future Music Moguls. They had really great energy, really great questions,
man.
And I see really great things in the future for them.
And shout out to Marat, who runs that program and really kept things on track. It was a great morning. And then what we were really excited about was that Saturday night, we were going to go to Brooklyn to celebrate our friend Rembert Brown's birthday at a very unique karaoke place.
Yeah, it's a middle-aged couple in their house, and they invite people over. I mean, they run a karaoke business out of their house.
Which is crazy. We're in their living room. There are cats walking around.
Yeah, the karaoke cats.
There's two mannequins in the kitchen. One's dressed as Batman. One's dressed as Robin. You're allowed to take pictures with them.
But you're not allowed to knock them over. The DJ is Roberto, and his wife is Zeta. And every so often, they'll come out and they will perform.
Yeah, for example, Rembert's singing a song. And then Jeff is singing a song, and then Nikki is singing a song, and then you hear from the DJ booth.
Oh, is it 1:30?
And the funny thing about it was, no, it wasn't. It was 11:30.
The sexy hour.
According to Roberto.
And so Roberto came out, and he sang REO Speedwagon, which is like the least sexy song.
It's so crazy though. He sang that. He sang some Phil Collins later on. Zeta sang No Doubt.
Yeah.
And they kill it. But, you know, house rules, they can sing whenever they want. We sang some Keith Sweat. We sang some Dre and Snoop. We sang Tony Braxton's Unbreak My Heart.
Killed it.
Which, you know, I mean, that's a staple for It's the Real.
Yeah.
And we had an amazing time.
So we leave the party around 3 a.m.
Right.
We walk outside. We go over to the subway station. We were taking the L back to Manhattan.
Right.
And then we would go up to the Upper West Side, mm-hmm. as one does.
Yeah.
So we go down the stairs, walk to the edge of the platform, and the train comes into the station, slows, and then comes to a stop right in front of us.
Right.
And the window comes down, the conductor sticks his head out, and says, "It's the Real! I fuck with you guys heavy!"
And that was so incredible and unexpected. We go over there, we introduce ourselves. His name is Ernest. Shout out to Ernest, the train conductor. We wanted to talk longer, obviously, but he was like, "Hey, get on the train before it leaves." So really, Jeff, I think that we should probably go back to NYU next week and tell the kids, listen, sometimes you do well,
And then you take the L.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Today, Jeff, on the podcast.
Today we have the return of the Flatbush Zombies.
And that's not just one Flatbush Zombie.
No, that is all three and their manager, Josh.
Yeah, so we have Michi, we have Juice, and we have Eric. And they're talking about their new album, Vacation in Hell, which drops April 6th. But we're also talking about a lot of other stuff. We'll say this. We had the Flatbush Zombies on in 2016.
Yeah.
And we talked about their origin story. We talked about their whole lifespan in that episode. So if you're looking to hear their whole story, go check that one out first. Today's episode is basically about the last year of these guys' life.
Who they get mistaken for. We talk about tour stuff. We talk about festival stuff. We
talk about hanging with Snoop Dogg, which was awesome.
Yeah. You want to talk about like who these guys are as funny individuals, as fun individuals, as people that you just want to hang out with. That's what this episode is.
It's a lot of fun. We always have fun with these guys, genuine dudes, great music, the Flatbush Zombies. Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
Right after I tell people, go over to our iTunes page, our podcast page, and leave a 5-star review and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, because we know you're out there, but we need you guys to show iTunes that you're out there. So go over to our iTunes page right before the episode starts, and the episode starts right now.
Yo, what up, it's Eric, aka Type Beat, aka Autocorrect.
Yo, what up, it's Jeff, aka Ride or Die, aka Final Destination.
Almost wore Final Destination 2 bucket hats.
Did you really?
Yeah, ironically.
Let's say who you are.
Oh, it's me, Michi Darko, the Dark One, aka Dirk Cobain, aka Daddy Guerrero, aka Daddy Kruger, aka Jen Morrison, aka I got so much names, nigga.
Zombie Juice, you did.
Yo, it's Eric. Yo, it's Eric the Architect, aka Skinny Light, the other Eric.
Yeah, this is where some of this is real. Guys, first of all, the last time you were here, we talked about selling out and the point at which you would sell out. You have a new album now. It's been like a year and like 3 months or so. Have you sold out? Have you done it?
No. I haven't fully sold out yet. I'm halfway there. It's like 1 foot in sold, 1 foot out of sold.
So Sprite has, like, you know, made contact.
Yeah,
with you.
Maybe Sprite, maybe Sierra Mist. I'm okay. Not really
I'll
sure.
Sell out for, I don't drink soda, but I'll sell out for Sprite.
Oh, no, totally.
If I could be one of those LeBron commercials, yeah. Man, hell yeah, I'll sell out in a second, man.
MK Ultra.
So we were down at South By, and we ran into Nardwuar, and I know you guys did a Nardwuar interview. Like, I feel like that's when you really made it. You know, when you get the Nardwuar interview.
Yeah, or when you have, like, a house that has no furniture in it.
Well, yes. Yeah, those are the two things, the two measurements. But, like, how was your guys' Nardwuar interview?
Nardwuar? That shit was funny as hell.
I still have the records and all
records
that stuff.
And shit. Oh, you do
he
keep
got,
it?
He got my special records that he gave all of us. He got all of our records in the crib, probably.
Yeah, I still got all them shit. Yeah, I keep them all. The Ill Bill copy, I'm still waiting to see Ill Bill so he can sign the shit that Nardwuar gave us. I have all those, the Allman Brothers. I think about the interview all the time.
It's crazy.
Very fun.
Do you know how he got the info on you guys?
Probably called my parents.
Right.
Nah, I think
that's what we think.
Nah, I think he talks to Phil.
I think it was Phil, bro.
He talked to Phil.
I also think he listens really close to very, very
interviews.
Minor things you say in interviews.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You might say a joke right now and mention Vector Man. He's like, ooh, Vector Man. He's right. Gonna write that down. No, also Sega Genesis game. Then he's gonna go and put everything together. Yeah.
Word.
Tell us about Vector Man, guys.
Vector Man's a game about this guy who's like shapes and he's green and he shoots shit, and it was supposed to be like the biggest deal back then, right?
Yeah. But it was, he's really kinda... like the white that clear shit would come out of his hand. I don't know what the fuck it was.
It's kind
of
whack, to be honest. I don't know why we're talking about Vector Man, to be honest.
There was Vector Man 2, which was probably better. But
I like Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim. Now you're talking our language, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't understand.
Big Earthworm Jim guys over here.
Bring him back, by the way.
But okay, so have opportunities come your way in the last year and a half that had not been there before? Like branding opportunity.
Oh, entertainment. Shit, I thought you meant music.
Just a chance to sell out.
Nobody cares about
a
music.
Chance to sell
no,
out?
I don't know. Yeah. No, even if like Pitbull came to your guys like doorstep.
Wait, the artist Pitbull?
No, yeah, the artist Pitbull.
I do that. I do a song with Pitbull in a second.
Oh, you got shades on.
I think. No.
I don't.
Nothing?
I can't say that.
Can't say. Maybe we didn't sell out yet.
I'm definitely interested. I mentioned earlier under my breath, I said Vivid Entertainment. If they actually get into my SoundCloud, my iCloud, I mean, not my SoundCloud. Don't go there. My iCloud, they might get some shit we can make a little money off of. But other than that, I mean, I'm chilling, man. You know, I'm into doing like joint business. And
joint
I'm not
ventures.
To, like,
sure,
okay, good.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I'm not really trying to just give us, you know, all to them. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, 15 minutes ago, Michi was like, you want to know what? Not a perv, you know.
I said that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not a perv.
No, you're a red-blooded, you know, American.
American, exactly. I mean, right. This is how we are, man. I grew up on Jerry Springer and shit.
But in case Vivid Entertainment is listening right now,
yeah, just send
you
that
are
bag.
Totally on board.
Send that bag.
No, but like, how far are you guys willing to go in terms of like mainstream stuff? Would you guys do Hot Ones on Complex?
That's
the hot wings. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do it.
I don't think that's really selling out nowadays.
Oh,
I don't
now.
Know what the
yeah.
fuck
is it though? Is it though, really?
Like,
I feel like you've only made it like a certain place.
It's not selling out, but it's definitely like one of those like
taboo.
Levels.
Yeah, but then
not a taboo thing. It's like it's a level that you get to. You're just like, oh, like they've made it.
It's right. Like when that guy makes them before they were famous on YouTube, and he gets everything wrong. That dude. Yeah.
Screw that guy. I got you. It's a clout climbing thing.
It is.
Yeah.
I would eat the shit out of those wings, man. Yeah.
I like wings.
Josh.
Oh, fuck it.
Make it happen.
Yes.
Oh.
They're not interested in groups, so they're not interested in
I guess
in
we
really?
Didn't sell out yet. Hey.
Guess you have to have a
still
billboard
got my soul,
number
hey.
One. Hey.
So which one of you guys will do it then? Like if they're only going to take
well,
one
I'm
of you.
Well, I'm vegan today.
Today?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Today. I think Juice would just do the sauce. Mm-hmm. He'll probably just dip the sauce in some rice.
Fries.
Yeah, I like that.
Some fries.
Like
he puts the sauce in the fries, hot ones with his fries. I think, Eric, you fuck with the chicken, right?
Hell yeah. I fuck with hot shit, too.
Well, so you're perfect for it.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, hot ones, Nardwar, and having
I'm
no
do
furniture
my own
in
thing.
Place.
We're going to do hot shit. We're going to do our own since they don't want us.
Well, we didn't mention this. Hot shit. Again, this to me isn't selling out. But we did Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also did Jimmy Kimmel.
And we did Facts. Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep.
Anyone named Jimmy.
Everyone named Jimmy.
There's no other talk shows, right?
Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, we did that.
Nah, we did that one, but
Carson.
Right.
Yeah.
There's Seth.
Sally, Jesse Raphael.
Right.
That's right.
Actually, if you guys do like carpool karaoke, that's when you've really like.
That's true.
Yeah, that's when you really made it.
That's a good one.
But like only on CBS, not like the Apple Music version, right?
They have Apple Music.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
there is.
It's like shorter, and it's just for Apple Music people.
I'm trying to be on the sell-up. I'm trying to.
Well, how did you guys prep for, like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon? Like, what was that like?
There was no preparation. I mean, you walk into the building, and then the Roots are there.
Yep.
And then
they're serious.
They're very serious and they're about their business.
Down.
And, you know, we rehearsed one time.
But you guys had the choir behind you, right? That was for Fallon?
Fallon.
That was for Fallon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just be safe and say Jimmy.
That was for Jimmy.
That's
Jimmy.
Jim.
Jim.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, not much preparing.
Yeah, we just did it. We ran through it one time.
We had a rehearsal, though.
Yeah, we did have a rehearsal, but you kind of know the Roots are not going to... What? Well, fuck it. I mean, that worked hard.
But, like, we don't, like...
Rehearsing is not cool,
say,
Josh.
I was going to explain it. Like, I was going to say we did it with the choir first, and then we went and did it one time with the Roots. But I was going to say... I was going to compliment the Roots by saying, hey,
that's how
they're one of the best bands
on
the planet Earth.
Right.
And they don't really need rehearsals like that. That's what I was going to get to.
Yeah, like we did the rehearsal with them and then like 2 hours, you know.
They got it, man.
Yeah.
We rock out.
It was my beat, which was really cool.
That is very cool. We were hosting
It was a Gold Link Grammy party.
Yeah. Which, you know, of course, when you think of Gold Link Grammy nominated, you think of these two idiots. So we're on couches, we're dancing, we're having a good time. It is like completely dark in there. There's a million people in there and the music is blasting. And I check my phone and on Twitter, someone added us and was just like, yo, are the Roots really playing It's the Real Song, Waco? And we were just like,
we're like, no, of course not. Why would the Roots ever play our song?
Never. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, actually, watch this video. And they sent us a video. So, you know, imagine us with like headphones in the club on the couches, like bent over trying to like see, is this really true? And to the best of our knowledge, like, we're like, I think that's really fire, our man. Song. And we're like, we can't be here anymore. So we jumped off the couches, we left, we jumped in a cab, and we went to the Gramercy Theater where the Roots were playing. And we're like, we're going to, by hook or by crook, find Questlove, and we are going to like say thank you. Hey. And we got a chance to actually say it in person.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
was crazy.
Fire. I like the way you guys
it was
think.
Crazy. Oh, yeah, thank yeah. you very
that's
much.
Ill, very proactive, bro.
And then we got to play the clip for our mom on Hulu the next day. So that was the best part. But do you guys go home and watch your performance after?
I have all the Jimmy's performances
saved.
DVR, yeah. All that. My all parents got all that shit.
I'm about to try to put on VHS. They're trying to take this, not to get off subject, but you heard how Apple's trying to stop y'all from downloading music, this new thing.
Oh,
heard.
The no more.
Yeah, they're going to remove downloads whatever, now, so it's going to be straight streaming. So, like we said in the RIP CD on our last album,
yep.
save your goddamn music, because when they take it away, it's over for you. There's Lil Wayne songs right now I can't find, man.
Right, yeah.
I got an old laptop with old G-Unit radios. I can't find all the stuff.
Back right. up those music, files. Man. Back up
keep
those files.
Yeah, no, for real.
Bootlegs about it. To be popping again. I'm about to start selling bootlegs, bro.
That would be... Show. But only you have to do it like with somebody else, right? Yeah, yeah, okay.
Just, joint ventures.
Yeah, joint ventures.
Yeah, yeah. Sprite, you know, like Who Kid or yeah.
Nah, Sprite. We're Sprite. The New Yorker.
Right, Doritos. Sure, yeah.
Wendy's.
Yo, hold on. Why is Sprite stealing from Smack right now?
What, Sprite? You heard
oh.
right?
Yeah.
wait, Smack?
Yeah.
Yo, what? Juice,
come
best,
on, man.
At the end of the Sprite commercial, they're doing
Sprite.
And I heard it, and I was like,
ridiculous, bro.
But I still need that money, Sprite. I'm not mad.
Right. You're mad to a point.
Nah, I'm not mad at all. Give me that money, Sprite. I'm not mad.
That's new?
Yeah. And the new got Kamai in a new commercial, right?
He's not getting paid for that, bro.
No, he's not.
I don't know what to say about that.
So boycott Sprite?
No.
Oh, don't boycott.
Give Smack his respect.
Give Smack his respect.
Right.
Give us our check, Smack, for helping you. Or give us our check, Sprite, for helping you.
You did.
And that's it.
What's the weirdest placement you guys have gotten for your music?
Do we have a get playlist?
I mean, we've gotten some independent films, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But nothing like too awkward that doesn't seem like it fits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I wish I had something funny. I don't have.
You know.
I don't think
Marvel, Modern Family
stuff like that. But nothing, like, nothing that doesn't you know fit. You know.
Yeah. Everything makes sense. Yeah. I think.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to the day I just hear like one of our songs on like a Kids Bop.
Right.
Can't wait.
The really clean version
so
of it.
I know the royalty check from Kids Bop gotta be fucking popping.
Hell yeah, gotta be.
I need them Kids Bop royalties.
Tell me about meeting Snoop Dogg.
Ooh. Bro, this dude is the coolest dude. Everything you think about Snoop Dogg is true, bro. Like, super calm, super high. He's paying attention to you when you're talking to him. Like that's everything.
See,
you think
those
about
two things
absolute.
Don't go together.
That was the joke.
He's OG, right?
he's a master at, you know, I always say there's certain people you can tell they've met over a million people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because they can give you the energy and not act like they can give everyone the undivided energy and still be themselves. So he's dancing, eating his food, listening to his tunes, watching football, still gonna remember each of our names, making sure we're getting high. And yeah, it was a crazy experience. It's like meeting the Statue of Liberty and it can move and talk to you. It's like, wow, this thing that I've been seeing my whole life can actually talk and do all this cool shit and knows my name and shit. It's
what's
cool.
That shit he passed us? It was like some,
ooh, like
some
a cigar
shit. Yeah,
like
I don't know.
A cigar or something?
He passes some big shit. He passes some big blunts shit. And he asks us, do we know jujitsu? Apparently he heard a rumor that we could fuck people up, and I should have kept the rumor going.
You should have, yeah.
I told him we
and
did.
We told him no, and 2 days later they're still asking us like we was lying.
Like, yeah, for real. They're like, nah, them niggas really fight people.
Yeah, he's like, y'all know jujitsu and shit, right?
But then, like by the end of the tour, we had like set up this boxing match.
Oh, yeah.
So I know they was looking at us like we was crazy.
Yeah, because they seen us with gloves.
Yeah, like he was really lying to me.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was good. We videotaped the fight and all that. It was dope.
Got to smoke with Daz and Corrupt.
Yeah,
that's nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you guys have all their numbers in your phones?
I got some. Damn. But I don't like. I got a lot of numbers, but I don't use them like that.
Never.
Private
yeah, my phone. Like, my phone book looks.
It's like, for the day that like they call you.
Yo, my
or
phone book looks
really
crazy.
This person.
You don't delete anybody's shit, right?
No.
My phone book look, I have from when we started rapping. I had the same number since forever.
Right, since high school.
Yeah. So like I have names and numbers. Like the other day I seen Sean Price's God Arrest Him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This
yeah.
mad people in my phone. I have 12 different ASAP Rockies. I have 12 different Joeys.
Yo, how confusing is that though? When you want to
for ASAP 12.
Oh, when there's 12 people in a group and you have to type A S, and then some people have A V. And it's like, it's just too much. So I just stopped talking to those guys altogether.
Well, I guess, like, which one do you send Bitmoji to, you know?
What's that? That's that the new upgrade?
That's no, for that's
new...
like an old, like, it's the one that looks like you.
It's like an like, emoji.
I don't
like that.
I don't, no, I don't but like don't you one. Have to have a 7?
That shit makes me feel weird, man.
You don't?
No.
I don't upgrade. I have a 6.
Well, why don't you upgrade?
I got a new one. It's the 8. It's the X and the 8, right?
Yeah.
I got the 8.
Eight.
I got the 8, and I have 2 numbers. I haven't used it since. I still have the 6. It's so slow. It's so bad, and I love it. I just don't want to upgrade, guys. I'm thinking about downgrading every time they make a new one.
You're
just
going to go back to like a 3.
I want pixelated nudes. I want all of that. I don't want to be in this new world anymore. It's just too much.
This is why you can't have female interns.
Yeah, here, Josh.
He wants pixelated nudes.
See?
I have an Android sitting in my kitchen drawer.
Really?
Just sitting there collecting dust.
For what reason?
I couldn't get down with the interface. I like, you know, the pictures and stuff, but it's another world to get into. I don't got time.
You seen the Google Pixel?
That's what I was gonna get, but
great camera. I hate the green bubble though.
Mm. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
I heard it charges really fast.
Oh, is that right?
Like, ridiculously fast.
I heard every phone is better than anything the iPhone ever does. Christ, we're just stupid consumers. Just we just keep buying the same stupid
but
shit.
But it pisses me off when I see the green. When I text somebody and it's green, I'm like, what the fuck is your problem?
I know. I don't know if you got it.
Yo, why don't they just make iMessage that I'll pay for monthly to add onto another phone? I will gladly pay for iMessage somewhere else.
For whoever you're texting?
Just get on a Nokia on whatever. Like, I'll pay for if I had an Android to pay for iMessage.
Like hell a Nextel. Yeah.
I'll take a Nextel iMessage to talk to people iPhones.
It's like Sony and Xbox. It's just not going to happen, man.
Yeah.
Don't you feel bad for the people, like, you watch Instagram story and whoever has an Android phone, their shit looks, like, super, like,
stretched.
Blurry.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't come through.
Tell. I used to know those people are in jail. Using a phone in jail.
The new album is Vacation in Hell. Where is hell for you guys? Because, like, for us, it's Long Island.
Josh is moving.
Josh is like, wait a minute.
Am I in the wrong place? Too like, Long Island on the couch.
Hold on.
For me,
I didn't say which shore, but, you know.
Yeah. I was about to say this one part of Canada we was at. Was hell.
Was Saskatoon?
Saskatoon. I don't want to say
that. That's definitely hell.
That's not hell.
What happened in Saskatoon?
Nothing.
Trash.
Not even a damn tumbleweed. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Hell is what you make it, just like life. I know a lot of people complain about.
That's a bar.
Really, it really is, right? Don't take it, please. I know a lot of people just complain like about simple things. I know people who think they're in hell because they make music for years and not a million people know about their music. I know people who are in hell because of, I don't know, it'd be simple things. They feel like they're trapped because of their creations, or they're at work every day and they want to get a new job. And that's why we call it something like Vacation to Hell. It's about finding like paradise in the worst situation you could possibly find. So like, we all have our day where we check. Some people, when they check out of work, they're going to hell. Some people, it's hell going home.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't really know what my hell is right now. My hell is me not, whenever I don't have a chance to create.
Mm-hmm. What a media practiced answer.
I know,
that
yeah.
Thanks, man.
Save that for hot ones.
That was up there. Yeah.
You know, you got to drop sometimes to let them know, you know, I smoked a blunt earlier and my brain still works.
No, but usually like hell for like artists is being signed to a major label, but that's not your guys' situation.
No.
Right.
And that was done on purpose, right?
100%. It was.
Nah, they don't want us, man.
Oh.
Nah, we did it on purpose.
Call them out. Now is the
Def Jam, goddamn it. Raucous Records, Loud.
Yep.
Who else is there?
We're always down
Tommy Boy.
We're down to take meetings, you know what I'm saying?
Just for the food?
I like glass. You know what's funny? We took a meeting not so long ago and all we got was food out of it. So yeah.
Really?
I didn't eat.
Oh.
But nah.
Well, why not? Because that's the time when like we've been in plenty of situations where we're taken out to eat and we're like, if the other person orders something, then we will eat.
Right. You never want to attack on zero.
You know, we don't want to be like the freeloaders.
You don't want to be
there.
Yeah.
But if they're going to take you out, like, why not?
Might as well, right?
Well, yeah. There's this one guy who tried to sway us with like lunch one time, a long time ago. He worked at a label. I don't want to say the name, but he thought, he's like, here's the guy's menu. Get whatever you want. Buy whatever you want. And the way he said it, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the way he said it, he made it seem like he was taking us to like Rio de Janeiro to eat gold pies made out of fucking gold.
Well, if you're going to go to Rio de Janeiro, you better get the cuisine that's,
but
from the place.
Right. Anyway, the whole moral of the story is all he was giving us a goddamn menu to get a goddamn sandwich from downstairs. And I seen that and I'm like, all right, so obviously buying people drinks and food really wows people. And if you can get wowed by a drink or food, then
you're a good date. Nah.
Yeah. We're not that easy to fucking impress. Yeah. Like, we're really not that easy to impress. I want to hear like what you could do for us, not about feeding my fucking stomach, you feel
right.
me?
Right.
Have you guys ever been mistaken for anybody else?
Offset.
Really?
Joey Badass. I've been with Joey Badass. I've been called Joey Badass. I've been with A$AP Rocky. I've been called A$AP Rocky. 100%. Any black guy with long hair, I've been Snoop called Dogg. That. I've been seeing him get called Wiz Khalifa. He has no tattoos. People call him Wiz Khalifa, bro. It's crazy, man.
I can't even post a picture without somebody saying, "Stop trying to look like Snoop." I'm like,
what?
Stop trying to have the genetics that your parents gave you.
What are you talking about? Like, I'm augmenting my face.
Stop being from the same tribe as Snoop Dogg.
Another tall black dude. I'm like, dude, like.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't. Anytime I post a picture of myself, somebody says that.
It's crazy, though, for me, because. Like some of these people, like no disrespect to Migos, we've seen Migos get more famous. So it's weird to see someone that like wasn't as famous last year, and then now I look like. But it's like I didn't look like him last year,
right?
But we look alike. You feel me? So like last year they said I look like another black guy with long hair, and then when the next new black guy with long hair comes, it's gonna be him. So yeah, I'm just waiting for the new guy.
100%. We had got Kimbo Slice too.
Oh really?
Wow. That one really sucks.
Yeah, yeah, well,
Rick Ross, Kimbo, ho, I'm so original. Yeah. Rick Ross, Kimbo Slice, ha ha.
I was gonna say Juice probably gets nobody because you look so singularly like you.
No,
they find whatever they can find and attach me to it. I mean,
I've seen you look like random people that have like yeah, no name, exactly. Regular random people.
Let's say James what, Harden like just because he has a beard.
Yeah, like Jerry, man. Jerry from down like, the block. Yeah. Yeah.
My beard is like how long? I mean, it touches my pubes.
Right,
like,
right.
Damn.
Yeah.
Saying, just like, said that five times this week.
My God, I need you to remember.
Every time you do press, right? You just gotta mention that.
You can't see it, but yeah.
Yeah. The weirdest one that I ever got. One of our first meetings with Lior Cohen, right? We sit down. This is an hour and a half meeting, and we're with him, and he's just looking at me for the entire time.
But
and
like minute 50.
Yeah. He goes, "You know who you remind me of?" And we're just both like, we know this. We're like any Jew, like Andy Samberg, like whoever, right? And he's like, "No. One of the Marx Brothers," and we're like, "Fuck, but what? But why?" And then
you're yeah, like Groucho, and he goes Harpo, which is Harpo's the one that goes like can't speak.
He's
yeah.
the mute.
Oh
it's
just shit!
Like, he has blonde curly hair. It's just like what yeah.
What made
even?
You?
But yeah. then he came up to you again, like much later,
and was like,
"Has anybody ever told you that you look like one of the Marx Brothers?"
Like, yes, dude, you. You. You told us that.
I got Jeff Goldblum once, and I was like,
"Definitely look like Jeff Silverblum." Definitely
Bronzeblum.
But like the thing is, Jeff Goldblum is about, I don't know, 40 years older than me. So I was like, damn, like what am I like, you know, am I aging that poorly?
Right.
Yeah, no, not at all.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Jeff just tries to get whatever Jurassic Park like in
National
you know,
Treasure, man. Yeah. That's a good. You can probably like play a young Jeff Goldblum in the next Jurassic Park.
Yo, down. Cast me all casting directors who are listening to this podcast.
How long did it take you guys to fully record this new album? Like when did it officially start at any point, or was it just like something that you had been doing? Is it not done?
2 years.
No, it's not done.
2 years.
No. 2 years?
2 years? How did you decide it was done or almost ready to be turned in?
Because we hit send and we was like, yo, it's done. That's how we knew.
I just ran out of words, man. You ever just run out of, it's just nothing else. Nah, we just, it's weird. It's like, I don't know, ask whoever wrote Harry Potter. What's that lady's name again?
J.K. Rowling.
I don't fucking know how J.R. Tolkien. What's his name again? J.K. Tolkien, whatever his name is, the lady. I don't know.
But we live in a day and age now where like Chris Brown puts out like 40 records and it's just like, that is my album, right?
Yeah.
But like, you guys decided it is, you know, a 40? 40 records?
It's 19. Yeah. But like, nowadays, yeah. That's a lot of...
It is.
I always knew from the beginning I wanted 19 songs.
The number was
songs.
Just in your head.
From the beginning, I always knew I wanted it. Just in myself.
Yeah. Does 19 mean something to you?
Nah, it means something that our last album was 12 records and that we needed to do a little bit more.
Yeah.
I usually like drawn out albums that people tend to be exhausted by. I love The Massacre. It's so The Massacre was almost a double disc. That's they like said he used every they said he used almost all the I love that. I love when you're like, damn, there's a second hater loving on here. Like, oh, I can't take it. That's just me.
We were right at the end, too.
At the end of the day, when you get to sit with that for longer, it feels less like, damn, I love Illmatic, but it has a Genesis on it. It has 9 songs. So it's like, sometimes I feel like, damn, imagine if there was one extra.
Right.
I'd rather someone say, I wish this didn't have 5.
And plus, you can capitalize off the streaming numbers.
I didn't want to say that. But that is why there are a quadruple disc album now. So expect the 6 discs.
Are you guys doing physicals too?
Oh hell yeah!
For sure, yeah. We just finished signing like 2,000 of them.
Wait. Did you simplify your signature or is it just
nope.
the full one?
Arc Elliott, he did.
Yeah,
I do. LS Darko.
How is your hand not broken?
I don't know. Carpal.
Yo, by the way, your fans better appreciate that. Like that's for real.
Well, we want to fucking.
How much are those packages for?
Hundo, right?
100. Yeah, it's a pack that comes with a shirt, chain, stickers,
trading cards,
donkey, a fucking pony, all that shit. It comes with mad shit. You're gonna be blessed. The thing about it though is that beautiful is signing those albums and the posters is that, like you said, physical copies.
Yeah.
The idea that they can, we would even work that hard on art. It's like we don't look at the album just as the music.
Right.
We look at how we're gonna do this booklet, how we're gonna do the pages and everything like that. So the idea of just, I don't even know what it would be like to make an album to not think about making a physical copy. Like
my brain
doesn't even work that way. To go back to what you guys said, like we didn't make the album thinking about how the day and age is, music changed, where more songs, more streams. We didn't care about that. We wanted to put together something that was beautiful. You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
do any of you guys have cars that you could do a car test in?
I did a few for my friends' cars and all that.
Yeah. Did you really?
I got a car, but
yeah.
Some Lyfts as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I have an old car. It's a 69 Regal that has no engine in it. The engine's sitting next to it right now.
Cool.
Oh, perfect.
It's just ready. It's just ready. It's ready for this album. So ready for this album, but I haven't seen it in a long time.
That would be awesome if you really did sit in the car and play it, even though the engine wasn't in it.
I might actually.
Yeah, but like play it on your phone. Talk about the actual photo shoot for the album. Like where was that taken?
Sheesh.
We were in California. There's a lot of glitter, man.
Yeah, who are these ladies?
They're I don't want to say the names, right?
No, are they interns? Are they?
No, they're not interns. Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to have an internship. The two glitter girls are Nikita and Brittany. We can say their names. Sure, of course we should say their names. They're part of history. Thank
shout
you.
Out to them.
Yeah. Shout out to
shout out to the beautiful ladies.
Did you know them beforehand?
No.
From the internet.
Oh, all right.
But
thank you, internet. Al Gore helped create that, right?
And our homegirl Palma, she did the makeup.
Nice.
How long did that take?
She worked fast, man.
She skilled it. Like two hours.
Was it like a spray can or something?
Nah, she I don't know if I'm supposed to tell her thing, but she rubs them down with some stuff and then she throws the glitter on top of them. But she tries to she knows how to do the gradient so the colors are blending.
Whoa.
If me and you did it, it would look like shit.
It
look terrible.
Eric is very talented.
Listen,
how dare
you? Eric is great, but I don't really know if he's good with glitter. But
also the CD has the glitter on it.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. What?
So when we signed it, it was like all of our hands had glitter and shit all over after.
How long did it take you to finish signing these? I'm stuck on this.
Maybe like three hours.
I signed 800 posters alone the other day.
Really?
That's how much I love my fucking fans.
Yo.
I looked at the mic like when I said
that. Yeah, I know. Across,
cockeyed when I looked down. That's how much I love you guys.
You did.
Do you guys feel like you don't get the credit that you
deserve?
Yes. Talk about it.
Yeah.
I feel like we are the most.
I'm gonna start first.
Yeah,
let me get it off.
Do it.
I'm one of the best producers, man. I'm one of the best producer rappers ever, bro.
Without a doubt.
100%.
I think we are the most underrated group of all time. I think when we're done and we're gone, and I think when people really sit back and look through time, because sometimes when shit is going on, you can't really notice. Sometimes it takes you to look at a book and realize, oh shit, when this came out, this came out. Oh shit, after this came out, other people copied this, but they didn't notice that this was the first people to do it. So I think when it's all said and done, everybody looks back at what we brought to the game and what we continuously do when it comes to being open-minded and telling people to be themselves. Imagery from us being like not afraid to talk about death, not afraid to talk about mental illness, suicide, drugs, addiction, and good, happy. We have duality. A lot of these guys do not have duality. I think we're the best. I personally think I have one of the best voices in hip hop history of all time. Yeah. I personally think if you put me on a track with anyone or any era, I'd body them. I personally think that this motherfucker Eric is one of the best producers of all time. And I personally think again that we're the best. Yeah.
100%.
How is it for you guys where you have to like toe that line of like sort of being humble and not saying?
I hate that this guy has to be humble all the time. It bothers me.
It comes to a point where it's like statistics don't lie, and sometimes it's not about sales, it's about how you touch people. There's no offense to these guys that's out here, but like I know they never heard some of the shit that was said to us, and they have more money and more fame than we do, but all of us have seen
I'm way more wealthy.
We wear it in a different way, you know what I'm saying? It is not necessarily like about followers and shit like that. It's more about like when people look at you in your eyes, like they can have real conversations with us. They also feel like they're our friends, you know what I'm saying? And I think there's like this big hierarchy between fame and normality, you know, and it's like we're just like you, but yet you still adore us in a way that's like, whoa, you inspire me to be a better person and not just like you're famous.
I got something from what you just said. I think that we create leaders and other people create followers.
Mm.
And I think that's literally all it is, really. Don't take that bar from me, please. Jesus, I'm working on that.
Can we talk about Arc Instrumentals for a second?
And if you want to.
I mean, yes.
Cool.
But like, first of all, how did you decide what songs go to the group, what songs you keep for yourself? And let's start with that.
I worked on Vacation to Hell and Arch Metals 2 at the same time, so it was really easy. Arch Metals 2, all those beats were like supposed to be lo-fi at first, and I purposely involved a lot of live instrumentation on that. It was like totally intentional to be a juxtaposition of what we were doing, so it wasn't like this one is for us and this right. one wasn't. It was like I was literally in a different headspace when I was creating that, and it was also a score more so than just like beats that we could rap on. And I, if there was no lyrics on it, it would have been okay too, you know, just that sometimes I felt like maybe it was a little monotonous to only have the music.
But what's wild is like, so it takes you, let's say, 2 years all in all to like finish the album. That's not like locking yourselves in like Southern France in a house and just saying, all right, this is the sound and this is the vibe and this is what we get out of this. That's 2 years of like experiences and touring and meeting new people and thinking differently. So how did you, like, did you go in with an idea where like, yeah, it's not going to sound like this, but it sort of evolves over time?
I think it evolved for sure. I think there were some records I could mention in both of them. When I started them, they didn't sound anything like they did at the end. And then there's always like the nice spontaneous ones that happen at the end too, like right before you turn them in. There's one we did with Portugal the Man that like I still can't believe that we actually got it done, because it was like literally right at the end. And they're one of my favorite bands, so you know, they're Grammy Award winning now and I'm really proud of them. And those, we always need time to make like a moment where that can be a possibility, you know. So yeah.
Also, I feel like on the last podcast, the last time you guys were up here, we talked about how you would run into Portugal the Man like on festival tours. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We listened to it like right before you guys came over. Damn. And so it's actually a very poor memory where I'm just like, is this what you guys talked about? Like, and it's like an hour ago. So, but where do you guys have like good stories about like meeting them or running around in different countries with them?
John. Dude, John is like just like me, man. I feel like that's like my brother. He's like, I draw too, man. And like he would be with his daughter and stuff. He would send me pictures of them hanging out. And I forgot what festival we did, but I don't remember what it was, but you know, they had a festival and they invited us to watch a show. And it was so funny because the last time we saw them, it was like still really good, but it wasn't like tons and tons of people. And this time he like trying to keep the same like energy we always had. And he was like,
way bigger.
Yeah, man, I gotta go, man. I'm like, yo, I know, bro, you gotta do your thing, yo. Yeah.
I guess the memory I have most is Issa from Underachievers. He actually introduced me to him. And he was in my, John was in my house. Dash just rung the bell one day. He was like, hey man, you know Portugal the Man, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, all right, I'm in my socks and shit. And me and him just vibed and talk about regular shit. I look at his art. I like the way he draws. Like me and him really just talk on the regular type stuff. For some reason, I can't remember that festival, and it's probably because I was fucked up. So I'm trying to remember that now. But my shit is why I fuck with him the most, is because, like I said, he was mad authentic. He does remind me a lot of Eric, too. And like I get to like his artwork. And I always said I wanted him to do like artwork for one of our songs one day. I think that'd be so cool because his shit is very good. Him and Eric together make some fire shit.
That's super dope. Sure. Did you do a trade with them? Like, do you guys owe them something, or was this just like just for this record?
I don't know. We did. I did.
Wait, it was a trade. It was because we did
a remix for Feel It Still.
Too. Gotcha. Right. Yeah.
So check that out.
How did you get to the point with this second album that it would be? Did you want to do something totally different from the first album, or did you want to have it be sort of an add-on to the first album, or like how did you want them to relate to each other?
I think a lot of the production was totally intentional. There was things that I did on this album that I never did before, and some people like, you're kind of crazy for trying to do that and spending money and time to do something you never did before, which is like, you know, writing real vocal parts for people to sing and orchestrating string sections and drums. And I don't play all those instruments. I play guitar now and I play keys, but just to even try to write for another instrument that you don't even play, that was a challenge in itself. And also the music is definitely more is bigger, it's wider, and I think the dynamics of the songs actually changed too. Not to say that 3001 wasn't, but I think that this album showed a lot more maturity and development as far as like us as like younger guys growing to become like older, mature men. You know what I mean? Like,
and what does that say? Because you guys sold out a full tour off 3001 and it was received so well. Like,
sure.
How do you like take that as like, okay, that was like successful, but you want to be more successful? That's a lot.
It's so weird to me. Like, I'm still figuring this shit out. I think with the way we are, I don't think we're ever gonna know what the hell's the next, what's good, like what's going on, what people are gonna receive. Because a song like Headstone, mad people tell me they like that. I did not think in a million years that a hip hop record that's making reference to other hip hop songs
right.
would be a song that right now people want to hear.
Right. Yeah.
But it is. So like with this album, I don't know. I just feel like we gave a lot of personal shit. I think we gave something for everyone on the album, and I hate when people say that. It wasn't on purpose though. We weren't in there like, we gotta make this one for the ballerinas.
Right.
This one's for the niggas that's gluten free. Like, no, we literally just made shit and shot from the hip, shot from the heart, both. And I think we ended up with something great. Like Juice says, someone listened to the album was like, damn, Juice is right. You're gonna cry, you're gonna turn up, you're gonna be happy, you're gonna be sad, you're gonna feel mad. They just listened to the shit one time with me and they're like, yeah, you guys are not lying. There's every emotion in this album. So I can't wait to see what people think. Yeah.
Vacation Hell, April 6th.
I almost was hoping you guys heard something. But.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the singles that you guys put out. Yeah. And my favorite thing, by the way, is hearing Josh's voice say, order in the court.
Order in the court. Ooh.
And by the way, So I caught that and I listened back and I was just like, could be, maybe it's not. So I texted him right away and he was like, you're the only person who recognized that. And I was so happy that made my day.
It was a struggle to get Josh to do that.
We got Josh really? To say victory at the beginning of Headstone, and it was so funny because we can only hear Josh. It was like, victory! Victory! Sounded like Lord of the Rings or some shit. That shit is crazy. It's not in the song now. It maybe is there, but it just really low.
Were there any 90s references that did not make it into Headstone?
Yeah. Yeah, I have like a whole extra. I have like two other verses. Almost.
Really?
Because it was a time where I couldn't write because they bodied it so much.
Yeah.
And I ran out of shit. And then it just connected to me at one point. Like, I was in the club with Renee. I was just naming. It was getting like every bar was at nice. somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the club with Renee, she fucked many men. Some of them say, some of that, you know, it just keeps going. So it went on forever. So hopefully when there's a remix, I can spit another 48 bars or some shit. I might do it on Flex or some shit.
Who owes you guys verses at this point?
Oh man, am I allowed to say this?
Sure,
yeah,
fine with us. Yeah, great. Unless it's us. I mean, you know,
he said unless it's us.
Well, Josh is looking at me. Is
Josh is very.
He's like, be careful, tread light. Don't say the RZA owes you a verse because you guys did a song with him years ago. Don't say he owes you a verse or a beat. Don't say ASAP Rocky owes you a verse.
Say Josh Dick. Say Josh Dick.
I'm just gonna name niggas I feel like owe me. Nah, I don't. It's not a bad thing. I'm just naming people I've worked with that I feel like it would be cool. If, like, I would like to work with Freddie Gibbs. I'm on Cocaine Pinata. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite rap projects. Period. I love that project. Yep. I would love to have Freddie Gibbs with us.
I'm still trying to work with Method Man, Redman,
Tech N9ne.
Oh, okay.
Big time.
Yeah.
Do you guys press people for verses? Like, is it like someone who?
Yeah. How do you go? How do you approach people for verses?
We don't really do features like that.
This is the first time we reached out to a few people.
But Portugal the Man, guys.
That was so organic and natural that was just like, that don't even count to me.
But like, how did Jadakiss
happen?
We like
more like natural stuff for it to happen for the most part.
Jadakiss was interesting because I know a few people who know Jadakiss, and we did it. I sent so much people. He probably was so annoyed. Yeah. I sent the Josh, the right people. I sent hood niggas. I sent everyone to. He actually, my friend has a picture of him playing Fax on his phone for Jadakiss, like for him to Fax. Like Jada heard my verse
right
from my iPhone, like you said, in a car,
yeah,
with basketball shorts on in the middle of fucking LA somewhere. Like, oh, I'm gonna do this. This is fire.
That's dope.
Yeah, so that's why I gotta always thank Ballers for that, and thank Earl for that, and thank Josh because you guys got that to work, you know.
Well, I mean, for us and Jadakiss, it's taking forever. Like,
I'll make sure I put in the word for y'all.
No, appreciate that. Yeah. But what's it called? Like, Jadakiss, every time he sees us, he's like, I owe y'all.
I owe you more than anybody else. And we're like, well, okay. Okay. Yeah.
We have a song called Top 135 Dead or Alive because we say there's name 134 rappers that are better than us.
but the currency one, like he owed us a verse for like 3 years, right? And like, only until you see, like, there's a video on Na Right, and you're just like, he's in the studio. It's like, let me press play. And you press play, and, like, you hear your beat, and you're just like, oh, he's actually doing or listening to it, whatever. Like, it's just, like, it has crossed his mind, but yeah.
Yo, the Denzel Curry feature we got.
Yeah.
He came to the studio the day before. He wanted to bust my ass in Tekken, because he came to my house prior to that and bust my ass in Tekken. I'll say that.
And you're like, fuck you, I'm and an Earthworm Jim
gonna,
guy.
Yeah, yeah, you're not going to bust my ass in a second. You're going to make some music. And shit. He was like, yeah, I'm about to go to Korea. I was like, what the fuck? And he came. Yeah, he killed that shit, and he left the day after. Yeah.
Bun B, you spoke to Bun.
Bun B, yeah, that was crazy, too. He called right before he, I guess there was like a thing where he was supposed to call me a different time, and I didn't, you know, just how it is.
Phones. Yeah.
So then by the time I did speak to him, he's like, yo, I'm at the studio right now. And I'm like, holy shit. And he's like, yeah, yo, like, I just want to talk to you. And we talked for about like 20 minutes. And he's like, yo, any verse you heard from me, I recorded that in like 20, 30 minutes. It didn't take me long to write them. I bang it out. I'm about to go murder shit for you right now. And I was like, damn.
That's the best thing to ever hear.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
So now that you guys have the project about to come out and almost turned in, and like you guys have the final
it's turned in.
Okay. For everyone out there who's expecting the signed thing with the when you guys decide it's finished, how much of the rollout do you have already in your heads? Like what are the things that, you know, you have in play, and how far ahead do you decide that?
I know we want people to know that it comes out on April 6th.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's called Vacation in Hell.
Right.
And there's a package that comes with a necklace and and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And the tour shortly follows after that.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a thing.
It definitely is a thing. I think that especially for us, because we're doing Coachella, it literally is the largest. I mean, if you never heard of Coachella, but you know,
put us
to,
on.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. To actually play something like big like that as like pretty much our first appearance. We have like one show on the 7th, the day after we put the album out. But that's like a huge like opportunity in general. And then to now start touring, whether we go to Portland some days after that, it's like totally calculated and totally like the right way. It's like people get to hear the whole album on the at the festival, on the internet, and then they see you on tour, and then things pick up. And I think, you know, people buy more CDs and support it. You know, I think that's the right way to do it.
We actually on the road while they get to still learn the music. They get to learn it live. They get to see it and experience, rather than sit down for 5 months and make up their minds whether they like it or not. So a lot of times people do that with albums too. Like they listen to something and think they like it, then they see it live and it's like, oh, I actually like this way more than I thought I did. So
is this still music that you can stage dive to?
Of course. Yeah. Yes, of course. Backflip, stage dive, crowd surf. What else do they call it?
Has Lil Uzi Vert like reset the bar?
Nah. The thing about it is that Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Uzi's 5'1" and about, you know, I'm a bigger man with a bigger frame, and when I do things like that, I can hurt.
Offset.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm pretty much offset. So when I do, but nah, he said it. He set the bar really high. I personally love and respect Josh, and that's why I don't take it to level. Eric and Juice really know who I am, and they know me, and they know what I would possibly
do.
When
Josh isn't around, he jumps from the balcony.
Yeah. So thanks for saying that. You didn't have to say it. Now he's looking at me. But if it was up to me, I would jump higher than that guy jumped. But it's like, I'm not gonna hurt anybody.
For what?
And I've never, because for me, I'm a
thrill seeker.
Yeah.
If you didn't do it, their hearts would hurt, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's way worse, man. The moral of the story is, Lil Uzi, keep doing what you're doing, man. And hopefully I won't have to keep doing this anymore, and hopefully nobody gets hurt.
When you guys are on festival stages, do you make it a point to diss the other artists currently performing across the...
No, because sometimes we have... One time we had Currency was performing across. Yeah, yeah. Some people we like. So
at the
like,
same time.
Yeah, yo, there's literally one time where like, I can like see him performing while I'm performing, like looking at him and shit. I'm like, nah, it depends. Nah, even if there's no one that we don't like or dislike, I wouldn't tell you. I just make you... You're going to feel the energy, the difference. You're going to be like... Why am I looking at this stage with feeling something going on behind me, and you're gonna turn around? So pause.
When we were at Bonnaroo, we had our performance, and across the way, Foster the People was going on, and we decided to leave the
chant.
Yeah, we were leading a chant that said "Fuck Foster the people."
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually cool.
Having never ever met them,
I'm sure they're lovely guys. We'd like to have them on the podcast.
We just did a festival in Australia. And they headlined it.
Wait, that was you guys or that was Wiz Khalifa?
Oh, I like that.
Wiz Khalifa is one man.
No.
Clap of Zombies is three man. So
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody calls this Wiz Khalifa. One time, this should show you how oblivious some people are at things like Coachella and stuff. Last time I was at Coachella, Outkast was performing, and the dude was saying to me online, he was like, man, who you here to see? I'm like, I can't wait to see Outkast. He's like, yeah, he sure is going to kill it. Yeah. He sure is going to kill it.
He sure did.
And that's a guy with a VIP pass. He had the full access, and that just shows you who's going to these shows. Sometimes.
But shout out to everybody who's coming out to see Flappers Zombie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Coachella.
He's going to kill it,
Do you guys have a lot of crossover with Beyonce fans?
Oh, yeah, my mother, my grandma. Because
that's the same, like, you guys are performing on Beyonce's day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right. I would love to, hopefully.
Beehive.
Ooh. Good market, cross marketing right there. That's cross branding. I like that.
I am actually part
does
of
the Beehive. Does she owe you a verse?
No, she does not.
I wish. Wow.
I'm not going to even say that because I'm scared. I'm not even fucking with B. I ain't fucking with B.
Queen.
Wait, so, yeah, what festivals do we not know about that we should? Like, that really go off?
What is that one? Rock Skill Day?
Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey, Rock Skill Day Festival.
What is that?
Where is that?
Rock Skill Day was
that. Was in Norway, right? I think.
I think so, yeah. There's I that. What's say. That? Fort
Farnfeld?
Farnfeld, Farnfeld.
All the ones you can't pronounce?
Cornflogging.
Yeah, straight up.
Why?
Because sometimes Europeans go crazy when they know that you've actually traveled far and wide to come. That's and dope. They're actually like, all right, this person's here. Instead of like people in New York who are like, oh, I paid to see this ticket and I know this guy.
No, no. New York
we don't pay in New York.
Yeah, I got in for free.
I got in for free because, yeah. Right, yeah. I went to school with this dude and I'm just going to act like I don't like his music and then write a review after how great it is. They actually go out there and like show that they really appreciate that shit. And it doesn't even matter if you have the biggest records. I've seen people with we perform motherfuckers with huge records and the crowd goes just as crazy because it's about the music and the vibe. It's not about, you know, the dick sucking contest.
Do you try to like play to their like language? Do you guys like learn like one or
Shiza?
Every time we do French somewhere in France, I always use French and shit.
Really?
I only know like 1 to 10 and that's enough.
Oh my god. Wait, so you're just on stage counting to 10?
Yeah. Un, deux, un, deux, trois. And they're like, yeah, oui.
No, we were, ça suffit.
Nah,
that's only, I try to remember a phrase, but I always fuck up. So I leave that to Eric.
I went to a Ty Dolla $ign show in Paris, and my favorite thing was there was this one dude who was just like in the crowd yelling. He was, and it was 2015, and so he was like, no flexo, motherfucker. And I was like, that's the funniest thing.
What the fuck?
Dude, that's a drop, bro. That's literally a drop. Motherfucker. Like,
motherfucker. Motherfucker. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you guys ask for anything wild on your rider, or is it just sort of like normal shit?
Condoms, do-rags, one Hershey's, cookies and cream bar.
Wait, Pepsi one grapes? Hershey's?
This is grapes. Peps grapes. Yeah, Pep's grapes from like 5 years ago. I don't know why his grapes are still on our rider. Shout out to Pep. Your grapes are still here, bro.
So if someone doesn't deliver, you guys like
yeah.
throw a fit?
Well, Pep's grapes. It's on the rider. He actually was on the rider, man. Fuck.
Josh,
right now,
Josh
I think
regrets
we,
making
we have,
this trip right now.
We have black towels, do-rags, blow dryers. We're trying to fix it. Like we said, yes. Condiments or condoms?
Condiments. Forks, knives.
All right. Yeah. Plastic silverware. Plastic Silverware is a great band name, by the way. Plastic
just like
Silverware.
In my mind,
yeah,
like I just want to like
band from like Williamsburg.
In my mind, I want like your guys, like female interns, to grab all like the plastic silverware and just like take it from city to city. Like, with you, like by the end of the tour, you just have a great Instagram or
and
something.
And I think we have emergency for when we get sick. Some honey.
Some shit like
honey
that.
Always. Honey.
I'm trying to add like a little blender so we can just make the smoothies and shit like that.
We'll put it on the rider.
Trying to get. Oh, Snoop has the best shit ever. I said we need to start getting the Serato. He has. He makes sure every venue he goes to, he's playing his tunes. He has like his man's DJing. His DJ is on the rider. His man's his
that's
DJ.
Awesome. And he had catering too.
Yeah,
they got a sound system in there. They bumping music, cooling out. Like,
damn. Yeah. That's really awesome. When's the last time you saw him?
Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I waved by and cried. It hurt. Yeah. Yeah, shout out to their catering. He made the good food.
Mm. Who came up with the name Mount Cushmore?
That's Mary Jane, Snoop Dogg. That's what they do. Yeah.
Oh, so like that's like a thing?
Yeah, that's their thing.
Mm. Yeah. It's just such a great name.
And a well, great Photoshop treat. Job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a we went to a going away party a couple years ago, and this dude walked up, and you know we didn't meet him. He was just like, "Hey, nice to meet you. I'm moving to Denver tomorrow," and we're just like, "Oh, congratulations." He was like, "Yeah, my father and I are starting a bed and breakfast called Wake and Bake," and we're like, "That's ooh, fucking awesome, idea. Right?" And then. You know, again, we meet him one time, and then maybe 3 months later, we're watching 60 Minutes, and they have like this thing afterwards. They're like, for more about Wake and Bake, and we're like, wow. What? Damn, like, this guy did it. Crazy. Fuck. Yeah.
He sold out.
Fuck. So, Mount Cushmore.
Yeah, sell out. Fucking sell out. Not even 3 months, you fucking sell out.
Made it to 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
Damn.
Do you guys feel like you don't get the respect for your style?
Style of rap or clothes?
No, clothes.
I think
Juice in particular has ushered in, especially for like the minorities, as everyone does, the black and browns, and as you say it. But for that hip hop culture, I like to call it, coloring your hair and all that shit. I remember us being on Flatbush Avenue and like OG Crip super gangsters come like, yo, let me ask you a question. Like, ask him about his hair. And like, this is like years ago before anyone was really doing that shit.
Right.
And we're just trying to explain to him, nah, man, just ourselves. He's just himself.
By the way, you guys stand out more that you have not colored your hair.
That's true. Because having no tattoos is a new tattoo. And like, literally, I think with that, of course, that's a given from wearing vintage. I used to dress like a dirty white boy. That's what he used to call me. Vans and
collecting sneakers. Shit, from the beginning.
Ever. Yeah.
Right.
I've always been on that.
I mean, Eric Laugh, how long you had an eBay account?
Yo, I've had a plaque from too, bro.
And
still on there?
Yeah.
He's been on eBay.
Hey, don't tell people my shit.
I'm sorry, bro.
No.
I'm sorry, bro. He can edit it.
No.
You I thought you used another one though.
Nah. I still use that one. Oh, bro, I don't want nobody looking through my shit, yo.
Hey, look, man, you're a fucking legend on there, bro.
Damn.
Are you selling shit too?
He got a fucking plaque.
I have, yeah.
You got a plaque?
That's what I'm trying to explain to you. A legend on there. He's one of the fucking top.
I'm very legit, bro.
eBay sent you a plaque?
They send you these things. Like, I've been on there for so long that they sent me something to tell me I have, like, perfect history.
That's what I'm telling you. That's something to brag about, motherfucker.
Yeah. How do we know that you didn't buy the plaque on eBay?
Yo, that probably is on there and shit. Wow. Jesus Christ.
Someone once tried to give us... Someone who worked at Def Jam tried to give us the code for the plaques, like, because like anyone can buy them and you can put like your name on it. You just have to like work at a label and they give you like the thing. So it's just like, you want a, you know, Kanye West graduation plaque? Yes, I do. And you know, put your name if you want to pay like $500 for it or whatever.
Oh, I'm
you gotta be a super fan.
Jesus.
No, I'm about to a bunch of a lot of people. Like, right. Yeah, we worked on that.
Right.
Yeah. I was the fifth engineer. Yeah,
I was an engineer on this shit. Yeah. Yeah, I was a Common B.
Yeah.
I did writing on that.
Common B.
It's part of the radio team.
Is there anything that you guys have found? You guys have worn a lot of things on stage, obviously. Is there anything you found is a bad decision for performing on stage?
Shorts.
I hate performing
like
in shorts.
I feel like a fucking loser, man.
And I really do.
Also, performing without a belt is also very not good look. When you take your shirt
off, it depends on if you're
bad to me.
Yeah, but sometimes I've had where my pants have been so tight that a belt doesn't matter. You just look stink when you take your shirt off. Like,
maybe boots.
I'm not a big boots.
Boots is hard.
I'm not a big boots person. I just think you should just perform whatever makes you comfortable. I've did a whole show in a ski mask and a leather jacket before, and it was 90 degrees, and it made me perform better. So
that made you perform better?
Yeah, because I'm in character. I have my mask on.
Yeah, but did you die afterwards? Yeah.
Was
I'm
that
dead.
The character?
Yeah,
well, character
dead.
That you're dead?
I'm good, man. It wasn't bad. It was Halloween. He had on Darth Vader. He was hotter than me.
I was hot as fuck.
He had a fucking full Darth Vader costume.
That was mad hot. God. Never again. Yeah, I just thought of something. There's an interview it's a minute ago, is Kid Cudi, right? And he was talking about how vain rappers are. And then he was like watching Band of Horses or whatever. And I guess he was talking about himself. And he's like, yo, I would look at myself like in the mirror for like so long, probably longer than I took to actually rehearse. And I'd just stare at myself to make sure my outfit was the right way. And then he's like, I saw Band of Horses and the lead singer came out and he like looked like shit. And he just said, yo, that was the best show he ever saw. And he's like, ever since then, I just never really cared about my clothes as much as I used to, you know?
Yeah.
When I heard that, I said the same thing too. Like, I wear the same things. Like, I wear overalls or I wear an outfit that matches. Like,
or Darth Vader.
Or right. Darth Vader.
Yeah, even
it matches. I think he's all black.
Even if we look cool on stage, it's still something that we're really comfortable. There was a time I wore the same jeans every day to every festival. White Balmain jeans every day to every Clockwork Indigo tour. I wore two jeans. It doesn't matter. It looks cool. I'm mad comfortable in these jeans.
Right.
And I'm so mad I can't wear them right now. I feel when you have to stop wearing them, you feel weird. So
did you gain weight or something?
No, because it's going to be 5 years of the white jeans and it's just like,
you need to move on.
Yeah, but then you become like Steve Jobs.
But then, see, that's scary, bro. That is so scary.
Black turtleneck for life.
Right, that's it.
Are you guys into like Halloween?
I'm getting more into it as I get older. Back in the days, you couldn't really run around. Well, when you're from our neighborhood, where they fucking put razor blades instead of putting it in apples, and they throw fucking Nair and bleach off of the roof to fucking get your hair all
fucked up,
you know, or crazy shit like putting bleach and putting shit inside the egg when you crack a hole and it's when you throw it. Man, I could just go on this shit used to do to motherfuckers. So, I mean, for me, I'm getting comfortable doing Halloween now because we have a controlled crowd of people who paid to see us.
Yeah.
This year, I went as a crow and I stayed in my house. I didn't bother anybody. And,
wait, the crow or a crow?
No, the crow. The crow, I did that, you know what I mean? And
I was Carl from Walking Dead.
Coral.
Yeah. Coral. Did you know that most of those characters are not American, man? Those accents are all fake, man.
I don't want to break your heart again, but we've never seen it.
Oh
yes.
Damn.
Love these guys.
Star Wars.
friends. Jesus, I didn't watch Game of Thrones.
You guys are icy. Yeah, well,
fuck you guys. No. Here's why. We were off board, and then we ran into a woman in our mom's elevator.
No. That was the second one.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah, no. Okay. We had some friends come over, and it was a rainy, shitty night. And they were just like, well, watch one episode. And if you don't like it at that point, we're just like, well, we're stuck inside and we're hospitable people. So, all right. So we gave it a shot. We're just like, all right. And then we went over to our mom's building and ran into the woman in the elevator.
And the woman in the elevator, Eric and I were talking about, we were like, oh, should we watch another episode? Do you want to do the three episodes that they recommended? And then this woman was like, are you talking about the greatest show on earth? And we were like, really? You knew that just, we didn't even say Game of Thrones.
The circus?
Yeah.
Damn.
But this woman was like, oh, you have to watch eight episodes and then you'll know.
Well, I guess we gotta go watch eight.
So now you guys are obsessed with Game of Thrones?
And then,
not obsessed, but I mean, like, there was
who we are, by the way. We're just like, yeah, we're working hard on all these different projects. And then we're just like, yeah, let's watch one episode while we eat lunch, right? And we're here, we're just like, let's watch another episode while we
It's because of how it ends, though, because it's always like, oh my God, what? I know. Yeah. It's like, fuck, you gotta watch it.
But the last season wasn't good.
And there's autoplay too, and that's just
It's 5 seconds.
Whoever thought of doing that, whoever thought of doing that with Netflix is a genius.
Also,
autoplay.
Skipping the
intro.
Wow, I love that.
Yo, did you guys see the what is it? Wild Wild Country.
Oh my God,
what's that
about the cult in Oregon?
Oh yeah.
It started in India, and they moved over.
It's a documentary.
It's a documentary.
I'm watching something called Encounter with Evil.
What is that?
It's on Netflix too, so you could watch that too.
Yes, we traded. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Tell me about this.
No, but so this cult, or grouping of people who wants to call them a cult, right?
Right.
So this group, they were worldwide. It was a worldwide phenomenon that I never knew about. They were only around for 5 years.
Right. They all dressed in red. They took over this corner of Oregon.
I
know cults.
Rajneeshi.
Yeah, I've Rajneeshi. Never
Rajneeshi.
Yeah.
What if we were like they're Bloods?
You know about Heaven's Gate? You know about the Heaven's Bloods. Gate? You ever heard of those guys?
Yeah, for sure.
The one of the Encounters with Evil was about the Jim Jones, Jonestown.
Yep. Yeah.
Heaven's Gate, and it was about I forgot the other guy. God, one of those other dudes. But that cult, that should be having me like, damn, man.
Yeah, that's why I wear Nikes.
That picture?
Shit.
You know what I thought about that, too? That was the best marketing ever.
Yeah.
In a dark way, that was the best marketing. But also how easy, Kool-Aid. We can probably shoot, start a cult, real easy.
Oh, listen, while you're on stage, Jesus Christ.
Don't tell them that.
God.
We're not doing that to you guys.
Repeat
we love
after
you
after me.
Yeah. You whatever we give you.
Come to Jonestown.
Yo, we saw Currency perform at Irving Plaza one year.
Yeah.
And they had flags that they were waving on stage, and the crowd was just transfixed. And then Currency was like, thank you, good night, drops the microphone, jumps into the crowd, walks through them, and the crowd parts, and his manager Musa follows waving the flag, and everyone just followed him down into the street until he got to his SUV and jumped in and went away. We were just
That's
powerful.
That's fucking ill.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Currency, I am trying to join your cult.
Shit.
Jet life.
But yeah, I mean, do we tell the Currency story or no?
No, let's save that until we actually do that. And then.
But yeah, we had Jim Jones up here, and I wanted to ask Jim Jones about being confused for a cult leader on Google, but I just didn't.
That would have been that's funny. When we used to first listen to Dipset, and they used to talk about Jim Jones, some teachers would be like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, is a rapper. She's like, is that his real name? I think so. It's not.
It's Guillermo.
Guillermo, yeah.
Yeah, when I found out, I was like,
Joseph Guillermo Jones.
Do you guys ever check your own Wikipedia?
It's terrible. I checked it years ago. It's wrong, so wrong.
What have they gotten wrong?
Everything.
My age, my
birthday,
nationality, everything.
Yeah, they probably fixed it now.
Do you guys ever jump in there and change it yourselves?
Yeah, I do that to other people's shit.
I don't do it
to mine.
Juice. You are shaking his head.
Nah, leave it.
Now, by the way, Eric is a great community member.
I used to leave.
Yeah, right.
Remember, I used to put views. I used to put say Tony Ayo was on I would go to a Kanye West album. What's that bonus track with Mos Def? I don't wanna say goodbye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a guy on there that sounds like Tony Ayo to me. I'll put Marvin Bernard. I think Melvin Bernard is his name. And I'll literally put him featuring him on there. And it'll stay there for 2 months. And somebody
think unusual.
Yo, he's gonna get a plaque from you.
Yo, you know what Jeff's best thing that he ever did on?
I used to go on Wikipedia and I would change Michelle Kwan's entry to Michelle Richomi Kwan.
Yo.
But then it got to the point where they banned me from using Wikipedia, so now I can't do it.
Damn.
That was the days when people didn't know you could edit
write
that
whatever
shit.
Right.
We edited
we tried to edit everything, and then we realized like there's certain things like you can't edit Earth and Jesus.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Then it just wasn't funny.
See, now that's a bar.
I want to edit Jesus and Earth.
Do you guys have a name for your like super fans?
Zombies.
Just zombies.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. They're zombies. They're one of us. They're zombies.
I don't know if it was like a Walking Dead play or like something like, you know.
Oh, no.
Further.
Yo,
down.
Can you guys do something with Walking Dead?
Like, can we?
Like a crossover episode of some sort?
Shit. That's point, the second cameo? Time we've heard that today.
Really?
Point, really? Oh, so is it predicted?
The Hot Ones guys say?
At this point, I'm understanding the show is doing so bad that they might need us. I'm down, bro.
Yeah. Yo. We can revamp the franchise.
We can figure
maybe
it
just
out.
Get the graphic novel. Just give us like 5 books. I'll take the graphic novel over the show.
Just 5.
I just need
5. Let's see where it goes.
I'm with it.
You know, you guys are doing a press tour now. Like, what very predictable things are people asking you to do? Like, oh, you guys are Flatbush Zombies. Like, let's go to the graveyard or something. You know, like, what, or like vacation in hell. Like, you know, talk about your vacation. Like, you know, that sort of
it's
thing.
It's weird. We haven't done anything. Like, the other day we were fucking cooking black charcoal pasta. Like, that was so cool.
That seems very elevated.
Yeah. And it was about, like, Venom. And, like, Venom has, like, the black skin and, like, a symbiote. Like, that's cool. Like, that person actually gave
They've
a
They've been
shit
doing a good job
out.
Lately yeah, of like, not giving I, us, like, no complaints any plan. Real linear, basic
repetitive
shit.
That is good. Yeah. Wait, but how did it, not to, spoiler alert, but how did it taste?
It was good.
Oh, great.
Yeah. We cooked that shit pretty fast, man. I ain't gonna lie. We cooked that shit fast. I'm into black pasta now.
Yeah, it was good.
Charcoal, you know?
Was it, like, totally from scratch?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was my first time ever. I mean, it wasn't just us. There was a guy who knew how to cook.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he was helping us to make it look fancy.
I feel like juice is very influential in the black pasta world.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Wait, so how are you guys in the kitchen?
We're dope. We all got backgrounds from, like, our families cooking recipes. We've all been, like, independent children and shit, so we've always been around the kitchen.
Yeah. We've never told this on the record, but we will for the first time. You know, we sold the podcast originally to the network, and it was rappers and other personalities come to our Upper West Side apartment for a dinner party style conversation. Mm-hmm. And then the press release went out, and it said dinner party, and we were like, no.
And so that meant that, like, you know, by the way, like, the internet just, like, went crazy for it, and we were like, fuck, we had to cook for all these rappers. So we were cooking for Bodega Bams. We're making, like, salmon and papillote for him.
Gunplay came over, and, of course, we made sea bass for him, right? And Bun B was over. We
and
roasted
by the way,
chicken.
It's an audio podcast. Like, nobody gives a shit. Yeah. All you're doing is just, like, talking about
it. Right.
Good.
Terrible, like, hearing it. Yeah.
The fork.
Yeah.
Damn.
Not great. So we stopped after, like, 20 episodes or whatever. But just strangely, we had Charlie Wilson up here, right? Nice. And it was an amazing, amazing, amazing interview.
Collard greens for him?
No. This is past the point when we were cooking. So he's up here and he's sitting at the same table as you guys are, and at the end his wife is here and his publicist and everything, and he's just gone through about how he's 15 years sober and he has like his wife to thank. And so we're like, okay, cool. Thank you for coming through. Stop the podcast. He gets up. We're like, can we take a picture downstairs? He's like, totally. We're like, great. And he used to like, oh, look, there's a stove. You guys cook? And we're like, yeah, you know, we do this, that. We used to cook on the podcast, whatever. And he's like, you know what I used to cook? And we're like, what's that? He's like, crack.
Oh, shit. I was nice with it. He was like, I would make the shit pop. He was like, pour the water in. And
we're
just like,
yo, your wife is here. Like, she saved your life. Like, shut up. Like, don't.
No, you know what? If he doesn't talk about those moments, he probably will be like, he needs to.
Yeah.
So he said he make it pop. What's the special ingredient he told you?
Oh, I'll tell you off mic.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Not as really special. I mean,
yo,
Charlie.
What the fuck is in that?
The special ingredient is crack, guys.
Oh, God.
Anyway, the crack was okay.
So, you know, you made him cook. You made him cook a whole
piece. So crack that night. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Oh, boy. Nice.
Hallelujah.
We were like, prove it. Prove it, old man.
Charlie Wilson said, and I was nice with it, bro.
I was nice with it. I used to make that shit pop. We were just like, you are a legend.
OD.
You are amazing.
Wow.
So are you guys going to be touring just in the United States or beyond?
We'll do beyond.
Beyond.
Yeah.
We always go beyond.
Yeah.
You got to reach everybody.
When do we go beyond, do you know?
Yeah, someone DM'd us yesterday on Instagram, and she was just like, you guys are dope. Where are you based out of? And we're like, we're based everywhere.
Pretty much.
All right. Wherever you want it.
No, but so you guys are gonna like do worldwide tour and probably. Does it have a name yet?
Nah, we're
see
still
you in hell. See you in hell is the see you
well,
in hell tour.
The US tour.
The US tour. I guess we just carry hell
carry
onto on. Europe.
Sure, yeah.
Carry hell to Australia. Yeah. Fuck hell. We bring hell to Japan too.
Yeah, but you got to bring hell to Long Island.
Oh my God. Well, apparently Long Island is hell. That's what we're gonna end in Long Island. We're just gonna jump in the fire.
We're in hell
together.
Now, guys.
Here it is.
Also, you guys have a documentary coming out.
Oh yeah, building the ladder.
Yo, it's one thing for your music videos to look so amazing, and they do, like, thanks, they elevate, bro, everything. Appreciate but a documentary though is something else.
That shit looks great. By the way, the look of that, like, I only saw the teaser trailer. It looks incredible.
Ellington Hammond, can you tell everyone who was involved in it, from you to
man? I scored it. Eric Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Shot by Daryl Richardson and Ellington Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
Edited by Du Pinlack.
Mm-hmm.
Audio mastered by Anthony Torsiello, aka mm-hmm. Tone. And it's on the Flabber Zombies. Michi Darko, Eric the Architect, and Zombie Juice.
Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, man, the shit is beautiful. Honestly, I can't wait to watch my mother watch that shit and cry and shit
tomorrow.
Yeah, wait, why does it feel like Eric works way harder than everybody else?
Because he does.
Because you know what happens?
Because he does.
When your fingers are extra long and you can play fucking yeah. extra keys and do all this extra shit, I'm not blessed
and
like
guitar.
That. And guitar.
Yeah.
He nigga mentioned playing the guitar first today before the piano. He's been playing the piano before that. Just to show you where he is right now.
Yeah.
But I can still, you know, I can do a 360 layup pretty well. I'm good. I'm blessed.
But the documentary it encompasses, like, what period of time?
European tour.
Okay.
So it was 2001?
2001 European tour. Yeah.
And was it weird when they first started trailing you, or was it just like...
Nah, that's our friends.
Yeah, Ellington's our close friend, so...
But to have, like, a lens on you...
Nah, they did it so... He did such a good job. I didn't even realize I was getting recorded.
Yeah.
The whole time, I never realized I was getting recorded until he said
shit. Did you realize shit that him and I said the same thing? I don't want to spoil it, but... Like, there was moments where we did it separate, and then him and I literally said, I mean, not stereotypical shit like, you know, we work really hard and we love each other. It's more like, yo, he literally said something that I said. We both said the same thing without each other knowing what it was. That's how I was like, that's crazy. How did they?
And in a whole other universe, mm-hmm. Offset and Wiz Khalifa had the same
parallel universe, the same shit.
I almost fought a guy in a club alone in, I think it was Australia, one of those places on the other side of the world, because he came up to me and he said Offset, and I just was like, who are you, bro? And then he said his name, and I said, no, you're nobody. And I don't like doing that to people. And then right. I said, you see how you felt? I said, that's how you made me feel when you come up to another person to tell them about somebody else. I was like, you don't go up to people and just say that. And then he was looking mad sad. He was like, I don't want any problems. He just shook my hand and walked away. Whoa. And that was it.
Was that night Zion got it?
Nah. I was alone this night. Like, I was
Jesus
alone.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You were just like...
I was just in the club alone out in Australia trying to have a good time.
I think a girl has actually come to me and hugged me thinking that I was Wiz Khalifa before.
Damn.
Maybe not recently, but for sure in the past. I'm like, damn, we ain't that big. You about to cry?
I'm ready
shit?
For a nigga to give me a check for thinking I'm somebody
damn.
Else.
There are all these people who used to come to me, like, and this happened like numerous times at SOBs. People would come to me and be like, yo, did you get the package I sent you?
Yo,
Like, what? And so, like, I think that it's this guy, Adam Fleischer, who used to work for XXL and MTV. Shit. And he's a writer.
Who, by the way,
like, we don't look alike.
We don't look alike.
But, like, a lot of people would be like, oh, Adam. And I'd be like,
next time I see you, I'm going to ask about a package.
Fred the Godson has said hi to me numerous times. He thinks that I'm Adam Fleischer.
That's funny.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn, can we pull a picture of it?
Yeah. Well, and also recently, Jeff got a phone call. No, you got a text, right? Over Thanksgiving?
Yeah. So I got a text on Thanksgiving. And by the way, like, this guy, it was a long message. It was about, like, hey, great meeting you at this concert in Brooklyn, the Masters of Ceremony. I love what you guys are doing. I have a studio. I have access to artists. And I'd love to make something happen. And by the way, I manage Black Rob. And I was like, oh, so I see the message and I'm like, I wasn't at that concert.
Wow.
But I was like, but I do want Black Rob on the podcast. So I was like, all right, I'm not going to respond because it's Thanksgiving. So I'll give it a few days. And then on Monday, I texted him and I was like, hey, like, I don't know what you're talking about, but like, I'd love to get Black Rob on our podcast. And he's like, cool. Like, I think Black Rob's with it. We scheduled it for that Thursday.
Fire.
So, around like 3 o'clock, he was supposed to be here. And we texted and I said, yo, Derek, like, where's this dude?
Are you on the way?
Yeah.
And he was just like, yeah, he's on the way. I'm not with him, but, you know, he'll be there soon. So it's like 3:45.
Yeah, there's a knock at the door. And a guy is standing there and he says, hi, my name is Rob.
And we're like, no, like, you are not Black Rob. And then,
behind him,
the black guy named Rob.
But behind him,
is Black Rob.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the hell is going on?
Black Rob, just like you remember him, like oversized jacket, like oversized
Scully.
Fitted. Like, we're just like Black Rob.
And so Rob and, Rob
black
comes
Rob
in
and
Rob looks around, you know,
and it looks just like this. Like, you know, we're here for an interview. And they look around and they go, where's Jadakiss? And we're like, New Haven? doing press for like Freddie with Jay's? I don't know. We're not.
God.
And so Rob turns to Black Rob and he says, "What do you want to do?" And Black Rob says, "I'm about my business." And the two of them left. And so we're just standing here and we're like,
they went down the elevator and out of our lives.
And I texted his manager and I was like, so this weird thing happened. They came over, they were looking for Jay to kiss. Then he wasn't here. So they left. And so the manager texts back and he goes, weird. And that's it.
Shit. And so like a month later, something like that, we went up to the Lox's studio and we're hanging out with them and we're like, Jada, like, I don't know what kind of unfinished business you have from like 97.
Yo.
But just know,
Black Rob is looking for you, bro.
Yo,
he's upset.
But
man.
Also, if you're Rob or Black Rob and you show up, like, what do you think you're doing on the Upper West Side? Like, yo, we're going to find Jadakiss. Like, it's going to be like, you know, just around the corner of these two. Like,
is it a problem? Was it a problem?
I don't think so.
I need an extra lock on this door, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, that's another funny thing, too. We had Primo come up here, and Primo is so Brooklyn, like old school Brooklyn, that he comes in and instinctively locks the top lock behind him. Right. But no one ever does that, right? So by the time we're gonna go take the picture afterwards, Jeff goes and he tries to open the door and he's just like, something's not right. Like, just it won't open. He's just like, why? The top lock.
Already.
Shout out Primo, man.
Anyway, if you guys want to rob us, only one of our locks is ever on.
I'm actually looking at these.
And if you want to Black Rob us, the elevator's right there.
Black Rob probably in the lobby still. About my business.
Vacation in Hell, April 6th. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you, man.
2 years is a long time to perfect something. So really,
2 years, honestly, 2 years is a long time to get kicked out of the rap game. We're still here, isn't it?
Hell yeah.
Wait, you guys said that Tupac was boring? No.
You know what?
I don't know.
On the next episode. Nah, I love Pac, man. No.
Yo, it's always fun to have you guys up here, and sincerely, congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man.
Thanks, brothers.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's The Real Jeff. If people want to find out more about us, we are It's The Real. If people want to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's The Real. The funny thing is, when people are like, hey, these guys are A Waste of Time with It's The Real, no, we're It's The Real. We have a show called A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Jeff, if people want to find out more about us or our podcast, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, ITSTHERAL, no apostrophes, no spaces. There are never any apostrophes or spaces in our name. It's The Real. You can always go and listen to any of our old episodes and all of our new ones if you go on iTunes and search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real. You can also go on SoundCloud.com/A Waste of Time. Or if you're looking for our music, you can go to SoundCloud.com/It's The Real. Or go to Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, Pandora,
Tidal,
all of it. And go search for Teddy Bear Fresh, our album, by It's The Real. You can always find us on social media. Twitter at It's The Real, Facebook at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real. We are also on Reddit at It's The Real. We are also on Twitch at It's The Real, It's The Real. Even though we haven't used it yet, but we're going to, I imagine, at some point. We also have a book coming out that's on Amazon for pre-order, which is called Rhyme Book. Go check that out. We are also going to be at the Roots Picnic on June 2nd in Philadelphia.
Go check us out.
There might be some other shows coming up in other cities that we're working out right now.
Please believe.
And there's always merch that you can find at itsthereal.com/shop.
Jeff, this podcast isn't going anywhere unless we spread the word to our people to spread the word to their people. So we like to shout our friends out, our loyal listeners. Jeff, who would you like to shout?
I want to shout out Josh Gonzalez.
Hey.
Who we met down at South by Southwest. Who is 24 and he acts like he's been here before.
He should act like he's been here before.
Yeah, because our friend Amira Bessie tells him to.
That's right.
I also want to shout out Sylvan LeCue, and I want to shout out Jonathan. We saw Sylvan in concert at the Mercury Lounge sold out show here
great
in New
show.
York.
Great show.
And he recorded an episode of our podcast that's coming up soon.
Wise up. Jeff, I want to shout out our great friend David Cho, a veteran of the podcast and a loyal listener. And on this, Jeff, the 5-year anniversary of our first mixtape, Urbane Outfitters Volume 1, which we put out with DJ Drama and we're rapping alongside Bun B, Freeway, Mano, Lil Jon, and Hannibal Buress. David, Jeff, you will remember, was the one who said, just put it out. We sat there and we're just like, no, what if the Lonely Island puts out their album? And David's just like, what does it matter? What are you waiting for? Why are you sitting on it? Just put it out there for the people, and we did.
And the Lonely Island did not.
And it was awesome for us to do that because it changed the path of our career. We had that New York Times art section, front page, profile. We had that look on MTV and Hot 97, and we played that Bonnaroo stage, and we had that listening party at Puff Daddy's studio, Daddy's house. And in the last 5 years, the things that we have done, because we adopted that attitude that David told us of just do it, and I guess Nike said that too, but David Cho said it, it really changed the trajectory of our career. Shout out to David Cho. Thanks to everybody who's listening. As always, Jeff, not for real, for real.
Sure.
See you guys next week.